from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Oh, look at you, eh?
Yeah.
You're so close to not having to put that 2 in front of your weight thing. That's going to be very exciting.
I know. I was down below 200 for a while, but then I ate like 3 boxes of those soft, chewy chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, yeah.
And it was bad.
I actually think that those are made out of pure fat.
I think they're made out of pure deliciousness.
I don't like them. I prefer homemade, you know, like, soft cookies.
You want me to, just to segue into this whole religion thing, because I know we talk about that sometimes.
That's apparently what we do.
You're all about science, right? But what has science ever brought us when we can't have delicious, fat-free, chewy chocolate chip cookies? I don't understand. These are things like the common cold, various other serious deficiencies in science, and no, everything that tastes good has to be bad for you.
See,
what the
now
hell?
This is a common misconception between science and technology. See, scientists are interested in making discoveries. Technologists are interested in making those discoveries in something that's profitable. And unfortunately, most of the discoveries that we have would probably better mankind, but you can't make money out of it. So we don't do it. So you want to blame something? Blame capitalism. Huh? You could probably have the most delicious cookie, but it's not, you know, very affordable.
What, like a delicious
or profitable
cookie?
Sure, I'm sure it exists out there. Remember, there was that
Olestra.
Yeah, you keep talking about this. This one thing that Ryan keeps mentioning all the time was this fat substitute that was called Olestra. And basically, in 10% of the population, it made you have explosive diarrhea.
I don't think it was 10%. It was a very minimal. But the fact of the matter was, everybody they didn't call it diarrhea or whatever, because I mean, if people didn't go somewhere, if people didn't eat things that caused explosive diarrhea, half the Chinese restaurants and Thai restaurants in the world would be closed.
Okay, it's not explosive diarrhea. It's just,
but they called
it's more like
the media. That was the first media hit job, because they called it anal leakage. And I don't know, I believe it. The funny thing about it was that I don't know what marketing genius thought that anal leakage sounded better than diarrhea, but they were wrong, and and everybody picked up on the anal leakage, and that was the end of Olestra. And Olestra was great. I had actually tried Olestra.
Olestra. Oh, I thought it was Olestra.
No, it's Olestra.
Sorry, I'm completely in the dark about this.
But anyway, it was awesome, and I really liked it. And the fact that it got taken off the market just because it was a media hit job. Media hit job, wearing my tinfoil hat and saying, God damn the media, they're taking down everything good.
Okay, well, speaking of media, we just came back from watching Bill Maher's Religulous.
Oh, yes, we just came back. Sweat still on our brow from walking back.
Whatever, 2 days ago. Shut up! As far as you're concerned, we just got back. Put yourself in that mode.
Okay.
Okay? Put yourself in the lying, because we're doing a radio show mode.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So we came back from it. So I want, first of all, I want to ask your impressions of the movie. So remember, let's just assume that nobody knows about this movie, even though 100% of our audience already does.
Uh-huh.
And most of these people were already asking, oh, you got to cover this for the next radio show, which is why I went to go see it in the first place.
Oh, you didn't just want to go see it because you wanted to support the cause, and it's Bill Maher, and Bill Maher's funny, and da-da-da-da-da?
Bill Maher's funny. I actually prefer his stand-up and his show.
Mm-hmm.
But I want your impressions first before we talk about my
impressions. Well, let me just juxtapose this to that No Intelligence Allowed movie with Ben Stein.
Yeah, that's true, because that is the last one we watched for the
radio
show.
Going and seeing that movie was perhaps one of the most uncomfortable experiences I've experienced in a while. Like, it was a very awkward social situation seeing the Ben Stein movie. Yet I went and saw Religulous, and I had a great time. It was funny. It was enjoyable. The people, because we went on Cheapy Tuesday, because we're on welfare, they were all laughing and knee slapping, and it was funny. There was a couple of, and this is probably why atheists get a bad rap, because a lot of you are idiots. But there's, you know, all those guys that are like literally knee slapping and yelling and laughing and stomping their feet, and I'm like, whoa, boy,
Take it down, boy.
Take it down a notch. It's like that kid in class who just laughs and laughs and snorts and then farts. And it's like, man, relax. Fucking relax. But it was,
I actually wish I could laugh so hard that I'd fart. Those moments don't come that often if I'm not high.
You can't even let yourself. Yeah, it's true. Eh? You can't even let yourself go to the point where you can get drunk off of a beer. You must. It's like some kind of Asian philosophy where you must wax on, wax off, and learn how to. How can you get drunk off one beer, Jacob?
This is your spiritual quest.
You
know what? That is a Zen koan right there.
It is.
It's like, what is the sound of one man getting drunk on one beer?
Yeah. The sound is the Good Atheist Podcast.
The sound is the stupid version, the stupid element of the Good Atheist Podcast. Mainly you. Okay, so now I want to give you my impressions of the movie because...
Yes, give them to me. I want to hear them.
You have no choice. If I don't, we don't have a show, dummy.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so here's...
Yeah, you mean you're the host, I'm the co-host, so you say things and I react. That is how it works.
That is the dynamic.
Okay. So go ahead and tell me what you think about this movie.
Now, I did enjoy it. Okay, well, I did enjoy this movie. Don't get me wrong. But you know what?
I enjoyed it as well.
Shut up.
I'm just being your co-host, man.
You're being bad. I'm going to have to beat you with the stick. Okay, no, actually... There was one downer to it, though.
The last 5 minutes?
No, not the last 5 minutes. We'll get to that.
Okay.
But the downer was that when I was watching it, I was completely and utterly aware that I was going to have to review it. And when I was watching it, I had to ask myself, is this fair? Is he being fair with everybody? Is he taking people out of context? Now, for comedic purposes, obviously, he has to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't be fair when you're trying to make a commumentary, like how do they call them, like documentaries that are funny?
Docu-comedies,
right. So when you're making a docu-comedy, you got to pick the funniest parts, right? Mm-hmm. And that was the whole time. Like I'm thinking, you know, is he being fair enough? Because if you boil it down, like if you take the whole movie and then you take the last 5 minutes where he's having that dialogue and he's saying, "This is dangerous. We need to do something against this."
Yeah.
Was the entire movie that the point he was trying to make to for till the end, where he actually tries to have a message, or is the message independent of the entire movie?
Mm.
Because if you're using the movie itself to try to make the last point, because if you haven't watched the movie, he basically goes on and on about saying, "Well, listen, religion is dangerous, and we've all heard the arguments before,
mm-hmm.
and you know we have to do without it because." You know, it's a violent theology full of dogmatism that is going to kill us all, so on and so forth. Okay, but my question to you is the movie used as an excuse for that dialogue, or is that dialogue secondary thing?
That dialogue was really out of place. I mean, everybody agreed. Like, the movie ended, and there was like 15 seconds of just a black screen, and everyone was like, "What the fuck just happened there?" Because for the most part, the whole movie is generally kind of, you know, Bill Maher just going around saying, you know, I don't believe in anything. But he's talking to these people and he's just kind of saying, what makes you so sure? And basically presenting the fact that nobody really knows for sure what's going on. And then at the very end, it really turns into... What was it? It was the end of Faith where basically he's like, you know, moderates... Get off the fence because you're propping up all of this evil, and it really stuck out as not fitting in with the rest of it. So if the entire movie was supposed to be about getting that point across, then the movie failed because it was like seeing that movie and then walking out and hearing some bigot yelling out like, "Religion is evil, kill all religion." It was like two completely different things, you know?
Well, see, that's the impression that I was left at the end. I was just... I actually had to say that you're right, that was kind of out of place with the whole thing. Because if your mood is comedy,
mm-hmm.
and even at the time where you're just being... Not that you're being nice, but you're just... You know, you're admitting that it's silly,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, the whole idea is to demonstrate its silliness. But
yeah.
to jump from it's silly to it's dangerous is a giant leap...
Mm-hmm.
that none of us believe. Like, he didn't talk to extremists. He talked to moderates the entire time,
yeah.
right? So the people that he was talking to are not likely to be the ones that are, you know, strapping themselves with explosives or, you know, wanting Armageddon to come or all, any of that other kind of stuff. So I think that's the part where I was just like, Bill Maher, you're losing people with that. But I could understand why he wanted to do it.
Yeah.
It's just that I don't think, like, if the movie had been a serious analysis of it, I think that it would have been, it's a message that I think people need to hear, or at least it's an opinion that people need to hear. Yeah. I don't know if I completely agree with it, even me, but I still think it's an opinion that people need to hear. Now, the one thing I wanted to ask you is, for comedic purposes, he kept on showing a lot of very extreme Islamic images.
Yeah.
You know, people sort of like burning things in effigy, and like the entire time, did you feel as though there was a specific bias against Muslims in the movie?
Yeah, I would say so, but I mean, just in the context of them being currently the craziest of the religions. So, I mean, he also had that pretty big bias against that anti-Jew. He didn't like that guy at all either. So
yeah, I think he walked out in the interview in that one where the guy was like, let me finish, and it's like it just kept going on and on, let me finish. It's like, he's like, I'm done.
He didn't do a very good job. I mean, if you take a look at what's wrong with, say, Christianity and the kind of stupid stuff that they promote, he did a decent job of talking about homosexuality and what's the deal with people getting all uppity about that. But then there wasn't that much. There wasn't really anything about abortion. There wasn't really anything about what's that other really hot button topic. That those Christians seem to hate. I had it in my head just a few seconds ago.
Well, there's homosexuality, there's abortion, and there's usually other religions.
Oh, yeah, stem cell and stuff like that. And the separation of church and state, they touch on, but they didn't really talk about the fact. They mentioned the fact that, oh, if you want to get public office, you got to pretend to be a godly individual. But they didn't really hammer it home. And these are the far... I mean, you talk about terrorism and stuff, and that's a very fringe thing. But when you talk to me about... What my concerns with religion is more along the fact and the lines of religion invading governments and causing all sorts of crazy stuff to go on. That to me was kind of something that was talked about, but it wasn't put on par with, say, the issues with Muslim
extremism.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know what? You're not wrong in that. I think that the whole idea is that I don't think he communicated properly enough that the danger, you know, home. Is really these religious people that want to dilute this separation of church and state. I mean, he had a good opportunity when he was talking about the founding fathers and how you know, Jefferson, for instance, made his own Bible that took away all the mystical elements and of the New Testament and just basically dealt with all the moral issues.
Yeah,
which I don't think is necessarily that bad. And you know, there's definitely some good stuff to be had there. I mean. You know, it's like any other holy book, like the Upanishads, like the fucking Torah. I mean, there's definitely some things you can take out of it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he really touched upon the fact that his government is basically completely hijacked by religious people that, you know, I mean, look at what Barack Obama has been doing to try to get evangelicals to vote. They're like, I'm going to provide more funding for you. The government funding for like churches and that kind of stuff, which violates like the longstanding tradition of separation.
Well, I guess the whole thing is, you're looking at this movie and you're probably, I mean, everybody is probably going into it with way too high of a standard, in that everybody wants certain aspects of what they believe is important about atheism to be represented. And to a good degree, I think he did a very good job of touching on pretty much every single aspect of atheism without even talking to any of the big atheists. That's one of the things I liked about it, is he barely talked to any atheists at all. It was all talking to religious people. So it wasn't so much of a... It wasn't so much of a movie that was about atheism, that was more about religion and what was religious about religion.
Do you think that, here's a question, in a lot of times when he was talking to these people, he was in like a truck stop church, and you know, like there was one guy who was claiming that the Shroud of Turin was scientific proof that Jesus was born of a virgin, And then there was another part where people, you know, he was trying to explain the fact that, you know, a lot of people didn't even know what was in the New or Old Testament, even though one of the guys was like a priest there. And he's like, there's no mention of homosexuality, for instance, in the New Testament or any of that kind of stuff. And, you know, he asked, how do you reconcile that? So, or he was talking to these Muslims and he was quoting specific passages that entice violence to infidels. And he was like, you've read this part in the Quran, right? And, you know, some people were like, oh, it's not in there. Other people were like, yeah, but it doesn't apply anymore. How do you think people's reaction were to being told by someone who wasn't religious, who seemed to have more knowledge about their own holy books than they did? Like, how did you see those reactions?
No, it's very ironic, but it's not surprising at all. I mean, the really stupid crap that goes on with all of these organizations mainly comes from the fact that people are ignorant bastards. And sadly enough, a lot of the people who are against religion are probably more educated in a lot of the tenets of religion than those who were really hardcore about it and who have basically taken on stances that have nothing to do with what was actually in the Bible or whatever else, and have more to do with just their own ignorance.
It was really funny when he was talking to one of the guys who's head of the Genome Project, who was a scientist, who believed in, like, you know, the Bible, and he was talking about, like, well, these are accounts of people that knew Jesus, and he's like, and he gets him at one point to admit that it was decades after his supposed
so
death.
More like a century, like 150 years. It varies.
Like, I think the closest is probably about 50 or 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's the closest. But again, I mean, when you're dealing with inaccurate date, it could be as much as 300 years.
Yeah.
And you know, even him admitting that, saying like, well, no, these are personal accounts.
Mm-hmm.
and it was really kind of funny to watch this obviously extremely intelligent man being like, well, no, this is a personal account of a person who was just never actually met the guy.
Well, that was one of the things that you said, which was you were saying there were some of those guys, like the guys who run the congregations that are taking all the money, are like, these guys are evil. And I'm like, I don't think they're evil. I think they have a serious delusion where they think that they are where they don't even realize that they're sons of bitches.
I don't think, no, you see, that's where I disagree, because people that are in positions of power, let's take the Pope as a classic example. Here's a guy who is supposed to be the direct link between man and God.
Mm-hmm.
He is supposed to hear the voice of God and supposed to tell him shit.
Yeah.
Now, I got money saying that he's not hearing anything. And when he comes to that post, he's got to be wondering, like, why he's not hearing anything. It's just like anybody that's considered saintly, like Mother Teresa. She lost her faith. You know why she lost her faith? Because she was in such a high saintly position, and she still wasn't hearing the voice of God. You know what I mean?
Well, that's
just like, how can goes around seeing all the suffering, but like, how really can there be this much? Even it was too much for her, who was obsessed with suffering. It was still too much for her. So my whole thought is, you know, when you're in that position, when your entire job is, I'm supposed to be listening to God, and he's not talking, I think eventually, you know, you're like, Something is fucking up.
You know, I've said this many times before, Jake. Your problem is that you are way too rational. And the truth of the matter is, no one else is as rational as you or the majority or other people, maybe some of our listeners and this and that. But you've got to understand the ability of the brain to lie to it, and of people to lie to themselves and to delude themselves and to just live in complete and utter fantasy creations. And you just don't see it because you can't even enjoy yourself, you know, with a couple of beers, and you can't let yourself live in the moment because you're always thinking about stupid crap. So you just don't get it. That's my point.
I don't get
you
it.
Know, do you recognize the fact that maybe you don't get it?
I obviously recognize that fact, but I think that you're also overestimating that ability. I think that there's plenty. It's probably like,
I'm sure there's
straight
plenty
down the middle. I think it's like probably 50-50. And you know, it's no surprise that a lot of these guys usually end up being ex-cons and that kind of stuff. I don't think that
sucking dick and smoking meth.
Yeah, I don't think any of these assholes really actually believe. But think about the sweetest gig you could ever have. Mm. Bilking people for money, and all you got to do is... you don't even need to read the fucking book. I mean, there was one guy, he couldn't even name you a passage. He couldn't even repeat the, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. Even I know that!
What's funny is that he got it completely backward. He was like, the Bible, Jesus actually says that rich men can go into heaven on camels and it's all good.
Yeah, he was like, Jesus was in fine linens. It's like, they brought him gift of gold. I'm like, I don't think it was that much gold, and I'm pretty sure it was used up pretty damn fast.
But one thing I want to make sure that we're getting through to people who are listening to this podcast is I really enjoy this movie. I mean, as far as going out and seeing a movie, I don't think I have laughed this hard in a long while. You know what I mean? It was a really enjoyable experience. And especially like most movies, you don't want to go with other people, you know what I mean? You get into a theater and you watch Transformers and there's those teenagers in the back that you just want to fucking take their cell phone and cram it down their throats and just punch them in the face.
You're a very, very good person. You're sociable. Let's just face it. You're very sociable.
No, other people are intolerable.
Or perhaps you're just intolerant. I don't know. Just a thought.
I'm intolerant of people who suck.
Okay, here's a good question. And I wanted to talk about this. At the end when he says that we cannot live with religion, because that's basically his point. I want to ask you that point.
Uh-huh.
I want to ask you that question. Can we?
It's getting to the point where it's getting, as more and more extremist nations get the atomic weapons, sooner or later someone is going to bomb someone in the name of Allah or God or whatever else. You know, all of those racial tensions that get stirred up, the idea of Iran getting the bomb, who do you think is going to drop a nuclear weapon first, Iran or Israel? Israel will fucking nuke Iran as soon as Iran has the capability to hit Israel. You better believe it. And that is just as religiously
motivated
as going the other way around. And it's not the Jews' fault. And I'm not going to blame them for it, but it's all part and parcel of the same insane problem that is religion. Now, on the other hand, if you know, you're thinking that people can just say, oh, you got to get off the moderates have to get off the fence and this and that, and that's going to make a difference. No, it's not.
Okay, but what about this? Let's say, let's use another example. Let's say there's a bunch of people that are at a party and they decide to try this new drug. I'm going to describe this drug. Because I find religion is very closely linked to kind
of
drugs.
Okay.
So you try this drug, and all of a sudden, you know, a few people try it a couple times, and it's very enjoyable. But all of a sudden, one guy takes a bit too much, and all of a sudden, the situation gets real. You know what I mean? And everyone's like, whoa, this shit just got way too real.
Okay.
Like, do you think that a violent act that's committed entirely with religious motivation might actually turn people against religion in a sense?
Oh, I mean, if you're looking at the practical, here's the thing. My whole point is that if you think that that the moderates getting off the fence is gonna fix anything, then you're wrong. What's gonna fix everything is something like a nuclear bomb going off in the name of God, and then you're gonna see some pretty big changes. So,
but do you think the reaction to something like that would be atheistic, or would it be would people kind of like go back to, you know, what they know?
I just think all the people that hate each other are probably going to be dead. I mean, I really couldn't tell you how it could go one way or another. It could go for the better, it could go for the worst. Unfortunately, a lot of things going on nowadays tend to turn towards the negative, so I couldn't tell you. You know, if I could, then I would probably be doing something other than a free podcast.
Wait, we're free? I forgot to set that up as a pay thing? Oh, no.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm goofy that way. You know, I've been trying to think more and more about that question myself.
What the end game is? What the atheist end game is? Because we all know what the religious end game is. It's the end of times.
Yeah, everybody's end really obsessed days. About that end of days shit.
It's the end of days.
The days will end. And you will too. And, I mean, I don't know. It's the whole end of days thing. Is it really a consequence of religion, or is it just kind of like religion gone awry? Because, I mean, you look at this sort of like apocalyptic obsessed world, and really it's two religions that are really obsessed about it. They just happen to be in the majority, you know, sort of like Islam and Christianity, and they just have this common theme. And for them, the theme is really simple. If this happens, that's how you get rid of everybody that doesn't believe. That's their solution.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just it being a peaceful transition. Mm-hmm. They obviously recognize that not everyone's going to goddamn believe. So the only way to really get it done is to kill everybody and let God sort it out. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I mean, it's not every religion that has sort of like this end times idea. So a person would ask me, is it possible to live peacefully with religion? Okay, well, to that, my answer would be this. It would only be possible if we didn't take religion so seriously. But the whole thing about religion is it has to be taken seriously, or at least that's how most people interpret it. Yeah. It's like you really have to take it seriously. You cannot speak against it. You can't make fun of it. You can't question it. Why should you question it? It's my faith, and that's all there is to it. Mm-hmm. That's that danger. If we can't start asking questions and putting people in uncomfortable places about it, then it is going to be an end game. Then we can't live with it. Then we can't have peace. But as long as people are willing to, you know, step a little bit back and say, well, you know, those are my beliefs, but I might be wrong. That might be wrong is that only opening that we can hope for. But I don't know if it's likely. It seems as though even with moderates, they're willing to admit that. But I'm not entirely sure how many moderates there actually are. You know, I think there's a lot of closet extremists. You know, maybe a person could describe me as a fucking closet extremist, saying like, "Well, look at you. You're trying to spread atheism, right? You're evil. You're going to lead to this giant divide." I mean, well, am I contributing to that divide?
You got to understand how extremely religious people look at you as somebody who's trying to basically sentence people to hell. I mean, if you look at the basics of it, it's like when you converted my little cousin to atheism.
I don't know if she's converted. I'm sure she's, you know, like, obviously the hard work.
You put her soul into question, buddy.
Yeah, and apparently doubting the Holy Spirit.
Good thing she's a Protestant, or she would be definitely going to hell. Because what does a Catholic say? If you doubt the Holy Ghost for even...
Oh, no, it's Protestants.
A Protestant stick that too? Yeah. I thought we were really lazy about stuff like that.
Who's we?
Like, a Protestant. I'm a Protestant.
You're only a Protestant if you believe that shit.
Yeah, well, you know, I come from that background. That is my background. Went to Protestant churches when I was growing up.
So my background is partly Roman Catholic, but I don't give a shit about that. I would never describe my background.
I know,
that.
But what do you
It's say? Like, my background is what my family believes.
It's like,
what?
You live in Montreal.
It's like,
now.
You know what? My back,
where you were born.
My background was like, we used to think the earth was flat. I was a flatarian. You know, like, no. What my parents or what my ancestors believed have nothing to do with who I am.
This is a very stupid little side discussion because you're just being dumb.
You're being dumb.
No, it's just funny because you're like, you're not a Protestant and you never were. You can't blah, blah, blah. I'm like, hey, listen, buddy, I grew up, I went to church, I believed in all that crap when I was a stupid little kid. I was a Protestant.
So when you believed in, you were a Clausian because you believed in Santa Claus? Look, until you're an adult and able to make your own mind, the shit you believe doesn't define you.
It doesn't define me. I'm just saying that that's what I was. Back in the day, I believed in Santa Claus. Back in the day, I believed in what the Protestant church
said.
Right,
but you wouldn't describe yourself as a Clausian.
You know what? If that was a general term that everybody used, then sure.
But that would be stupid. You were a kid. What the fuck did you know?
So? Like, I just don't understand what your point is
you
here.
You probably thought that there were fairies or goblins or fucking boogeyman.
What, you're saying, oh, you believed in monsters? You're,
no,
what are you, a Monsterian?
What I'm saying is that childish beliefs have nothing to do with how you identify yourself in the future.
I know, but I'm saying this is what I was. This is what I was. This is my background. These things do matter to a certain degree, because if someone is saying, oh, I'm an atheist now, but I used to be a Jew, that matters because it kind of explains where you're coming from. So you really got to just get off this, because everybody that's listening is like, wow, Jake is coming off stupid, and he's supposed to be the smart one. So
no, I don't think anyone's going to actually, well, some people might, but I don't think the majority are going to think that way.
Uh-huh. I just don't even understand what we're arguing about. That's how dumb this argument is.
That's because you can't understand it.
Yeah, I really don't understand it.
Okay, here's something. Basically, what is your final thoughts on the movie was what?
Go see it.
You're going to enjoy yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Except for, you know what? As soon as he gets preachy, you can leave the theater then, because that was just a bummer.
Yeah, and you're not going to see it coming, though.
No, it's true. No, you can't.
I think he should have ended it with that with humor. I mean, he could have made that accusation, mm-hmm. and put a funny spin on it, and it would have had just as much or maybe even more effect.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know what, when people think that you can't make a difference with a joke,
yeah,
that doesn't make any
sense. Well, here's the whole thing. It's like if you go and see There's Something About Mary and you're laughing and it's all good and fun, and then at the end they gang rape her and murder her and dump her corpse in the ocean. That's kind of like how this movie kind of just goes, la 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 la. Everyone will die unless you turn your back on all religion, and everybody makes a decision to hate religion. I'm like, wow. That's pretty, I mean, again, I know, like, we're being critical because we're talking about the critical points of it, and I can't say enough about the majority of the movie and how funny it is, and even what his empathy is like towards a lot of the people that he talks to, because for the most part, he doesn't mock that many people. There's a couple of people that he goes in and he really does rip them a new asshole. It's like you see Bill Maher on his good days and on his bad days. And some days he's tolerant, and some days he's not, and some days he's just like, you guys are idiots.
Some days he's human.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, I mean, overall, it's a really enjoyable movie for everyone, even if you're religious and for some reason listen to this podcast, because I know some of you people like to I don't know, play with fire like that. But
with some of the religious fans.
Yeah, you should go check it out just because it's fun and it's thought-provoking, and the most interesting thing about it was just kind of revealing the idea of a lot of the general concepts that are behind religion are just based on completely incorrect information and assumptions. So I thought overall it was really good, and I think it would probably make a lot of laid back atheists, probably, you know, just people, you know, teenagers who are just like, God is stupid because
my parents believe in him.
Exactly. It might actually entrench them a little bit more. And remember that whole thing of saying most people are too stupid to be atheists? It might actually educate them a little bit on why they don't believe in God.
Now, before we go, there was one thing that I wanted to talk about. Now, I received a couple of emails from people, and they were asking me, okay, do you guys have a PayPal account? Because, you know, I want to donate, and I want to make sure that you guys are able to keep doing this, and so on and so forth. Now,
especially with the economy tanking so hardcore.
Now, we don't want to, I don't particularly like the idea of just straight up donations, and the entire reason is because it doesn't actually... I mean, well, it helps, but what helps more is for us to be able to kind of grow, you know, something profitable out of it. So one of the things that we were trying to do or think about was actually we wanted to see if we could make shirts. We have another business.
Oh, are you going to try out your slogan? I'm going to see what people think?
Yeah. I'm going to try out the slogan. Now, we have another business, and on this business called fightandliquor.com, we also sell the shirts and that kind of stuff. So we're thinking of integrating The Good Atheist with the store functionality so that we'd be able to sell it.
Some atheist-related garments.
Exactly. And my idea for a slogan, now, Ryan doesn't think this is good, but I'm going to throw it out there. I came up with this idea after I watched the Bill Maher movie, actually, because the entire time I kept on thinking, wow, he's so much in the face of people. But I'm like, what if you actually were to turn that phrase around and say, in your faith? I actually think that's a clever shirt, but I'm not going to commit to hundreds of dollars of printing if it's not really a good idea. So I actually want to know what you guys think, or if you have any really good ideas or suggestions, and you can send it to jacobforte@gmail.com. So if you want to send one, I'm more than willing to humor your suggestions. I just think that mine's good, but that's only because it's my idea, so I'm clouded by it. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
What was your thought about it? That it was silly or nobody would get it?
I just think that I don't like it.
Wow, that's an informed opinion.
No, I'm sorry. There's just some things you're just like, I just don't like it. I just don't like it.
Okay. Well,
but if other people like it, it's all good. I'm not gonna pass judgment.
We only need
them
to sell 25 shirts in order to actually make it profitable. So 25 out of the few thousand listeners that would like it. Doesn't seem that unreasonable, but again, I'm a little cautious.
On the idea that your idea is good. So tell people what you think of Jake's idea. Tell people what you thought of Jake's religious concept that our religious backgrounds have nothing to do with anything anymore.
Not if you were actually never really a believer. See, I can understand if somebody actually was subscribed to it and believed and identified themselves as such. But a person who just grows up in that household, you know, it's like my father grew up in it but never fucking believed it. if somebody was to ask him what your background is or how he would identify himself, he wouldn't even hesitate and tell you that he was not Roman Catholic at all. Because how you identify yourself, say, even as... You know, it would be as though...
This is turning into a complete other segment.
Like, whatever. I am fucking trying to explain it because you misrepresent me.
Here, dude. Here's a 5-minute caveat which completely takes away from everything. Yeah, I misrepresent.
You did. Because you're a dick face. Okay, with that, let's end it. Next week, I hope to give you guys a review of a book that I received. Actually, I was sent this book by Penguin Publishing. It's called The Little Book of Atheist Spirituality. Now, so I'm hoping to finish it.
It makes it sound like pretty light reading, but Jake's been struggling through all them big words.
It's not so much big words as this guy's...
big concepts?
It's really big concepts. Like the first chapter was easy, and then he started delving with some very rabbity hole philosophical concepts. So I'm trying to delve deep in that. But it's not one of those things where, like, I read 100 pages. No, you can only read a certain amount of pages, and then all of a sudden your brain explodes.
It's no Sam Harris.
Sam Harris.